I had fullest intentions of continuing our study through the book of Ecclesiastes at the start of the new year. But every Christmas morning, I will get up and I'll usually read the Christmas story from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And I'll just kind of read it on my own to kind of prepare my own heart for the day. And we'll talk about it later as a family. You see a picture on the screen, I think, of our family on Christmas Day. And so, but that morning, just a month or so ago, as I was reading the Christmas story again, who knows how many countless times we've done this or I've done this, the Spirit of God really grabbed my heart with something specific that the angel said to the shepherds. So much so that I couldn't stop thinking about it in the moment, so I started doing a little more digging, a little more meditating on this, to the point where I'm like, man, this is just really ministering to my spirit, to my heart. And if it's really impacting me, maybe others need to hear this too. And so I want to share with you what it was that the angels, what it is that the angels said to the shepherds that the Spirit used to kind of really grab my attention. And my hope is that it will be helpful for you as we step into kind of a new year, as it has been helpful for me. So what is it? What is it specifically that the angel said to the shepherds? Well, to find out, go with me to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Most of us have heard this who knows how many times. We've read it before. But the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. It says, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So what is it? What was it that the angels said to the shepherds that the Spirit really grabbed my heart with on Christmas morning? It's two words, and you see it in verse 10. And the angel said to them, fear not. Fear not. So I did a little digging that morning, and I wanted to know really, well, what's that mean? And so I kind of went back and did some study a little bit Christmas morning. And what I come to find out is this actually literally means stop being afraid. Go figure. Fear not. But even more so, it could mean don't even start being afraid. And it's in the imperative, which means that this is a command from God through the angel to the shepherds. And so God through the shepherds through the angel to the shepherds is basically saying, don't even start being afraid. Stop being afraid. Now, I don't know about you, but when I usually read the Christmas story, I see them, you know, the angels say, fear not. And of course they're going to be afraid. I mean, wouldn't you if like all of a sudden you're just minding your own business, you're doing your job, and out of the sky comes these like heavenly soldiers and they start speaking to you? I mean, that would be fearful. And so I've kind of wondered like, well, that's just what the fear he's addressing. But I don't think it is. Because what we're going to see this morning is that actually this message of do not fear, fear not is a theme throughout the entire Christmas story. And we're going to see God say those words, fear not, do not be afraid, to several people in the Christmas story, addressing specific fears that they each have. And so I was thinking about that, and I was like, okay, I need this. I need this for this new year. And so Our special Bible word for this morning, kids, is the word fear. So every time you hear the word fear or see it in the Bible, keep a tally, and at the end of our gathering this morning, you can get a prize from the prize box and tell me how many times you heard or saw the word fear. Or if you'd rather draw a picture, you can do that and show that to us afterward and get a prize from the prize box. But it literally means to stop being afraid, to stop fearing. And so I have a question for you. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Now, I'm not talking about like the fear of public speaking or being afraid of the dark or fear of snakes or spiders or whatever. I want you to go a little bit deeper into your heart and ask yourself the question, what am I really afraid of? So much so that if I really think about it, I'm trying to control all these circumstances or this environment around me, and really why I'm doing that is because there's a fear deep down. So think for a moment, what are you afraid of? Maybe it's the fear of being alone. Maybe it's the fear of not being wanted or the fear of not having enough or the fear of losing someone or the fear of, like, for your kids, right? I mean, Aislinn left her college to Pensacola, and it's a 12-hour drive, and I'm a fearful dad for 12 hours, watching her on this app, making sure she's getting there okay. What's your fear? I mean, really deep down, I want to give you a few moments to really think about that, and then I want you, if you have a pen and paper, write it down or put it somewhere in a notes app on your phone, text it to you, to yourself, whatever. But I'll just be quiet, and I really want you to think for a moment, and maybe ask the Spirit of God to expose the fears of your heart. What are you afraid of deep down? What is it? Take some time to think about that and write it down if you can. As I've thought about this and had some time to think about this in my own life, right, as I get older, I'm not the young pastor anymore. I go to conferences now and I'm the old guy in the room usually. And if I'm honest and vulnerable with you, which I will be, a lot of times I'm afraid of being irrelevant. I'm afraid of not being needed or wanted at this stage of life. But I also struggle with a different fear, and it's the fear of what might happen. Anybody relate to that? For some of us, we struggle with the fear of what might happen. For others of us, we struggle with the fear of what might not happen. And so I struggle with what might happen. That's why I'm looking at Live 360 app, watching Aislinn for 12 hours. You know, okay, she got safe the next mile. That's good. What might happen? So I live in this fear of what might happen. A lot of times when we live in the fear of what might happen or what might not happen, we try to control the circumstances and things around us, right? Because we live in this fear of expectation of what the horrible things that could happen. And so I struggle with that fear. What's yours? What are you afraid of? I mean, deep down in the core of your heart, what is it? It's why I think we need this message that's hidden kind of in the Christmas story. Well, it's not hidden. Maybe it was hidden to me, but I think it's there. In fact, I know it's there. Warren Wiersbe, who's an amazing Bible teacher, is no longer with us, but written all kinds of Bible commentary, said this. He said, "Do not fear is a theme in the Christmas story." It is a theme in the Christmas story. And so this morning, I just want to share with you, help us see this theme, this message that God has for you and for me, the message of stop being afraid. But I don't want us just to see it, the message. I want us to understand why we can stop being afraid. And so they're there in the Gospel of Luke, hopefully. Go back to Luke chapter 1, and we see this message from God through the angel to a man named Zechariah, Luke chapter 1. And it says in verse 8, Luke chapter 1, verse 8, "Now while Zechariah was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense." And so he's just doing his job, right? This is what he did. He's on call. He's on his shift. He's just doing what he does. "And the whole multitude," verse 10, "of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him," of course, "and fear fell upon him. But the angel says to Zechariah, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Why? For your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John. And specifically, this is John the Baptist, the one who would pave the way for the Messiah. And again, when it says in verse 13, the angel says to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. That little word for, F-O-R, prepositions, little side note here, prepositions when you're studying scripture are paramount. They're so helpful because they often help you answer the question, why? So when you come across the word for, F-O-R, you're going to hopefully, in some ways, in most cases, it's going to answer the question, why for you? So when it says, do not be afraid, Zechariah, why? For your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll call his name John. Now, verses prior to verse 8, we come to find out that Elizabeth and John and Zechariah didn't have any children, but they wanted children. But they were advanced in years. They were kind of older, kind of past the age of having children. But what we learn is that Zechariah really wanted a child and has been praying for a child. He's been praying over and over and over again. And you can just imagine in his thoughts, like, year after year, no answer. And you can maybe wonder, maybe he started to give up. Like, God, are you even hearing me? I mean, I'm past the age now. Elizabeth is kind of past the age. What are you doing? Almost to the point to where maybe he felt like just giving up on calling out to the Lord one more time. Have you been there? You ever been there just praying and asking the Lord for something and just wondering, God, are you even hearing me? And so fear starts to well up. God, are you even listening? And I love this because the angel says a message to Zechariah from God, and it says, do not be afraid. Why? Because God is hearing your prayers. God has heard, and he has an answer for your prayers. And for some of us, you've been praying and you've been crying out. And I can tell you this, that God has an answer. The answer may look different than what you're wanting, but he has an answer. And so the message here to Zechariah is, Zechariah, you don't need to be afraid because God is hearing you and he does have an answer. He does. And whatever his answer is, even if it's different than what you're crying out to him for, it's better. It's better for you. And so some of us live in this fear like Zechariah, God, are you even hearing me? Are you even listening? And listen, we don't need to fear because we have a God who hears. A God who listens to you. A God who is personal. But then there's more if you stay in that chapter and scroll down to verse 26. We see this message again. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was just this little town, 600, 1,000 people. It was a small little town. And so God sends this angel Gabriel from the throne room of heaven to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, who was of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. An angel came to her and said, greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. Why? For you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Here is the teenage girl who is going to be the blessed one, if you will, the one who's been blessed with God's grace. There wasn't anything special about Mary. It was all because of God's grace on Mary. And this is what it means. You're favored, not because you did anything, but because God has been gracious to you to choose you to be the one who would carry my son, the promised Messiah. And it's interesting, if you go and you look at the little prepositions again, it says, do not be afraid, Mary. Why? For you found favor with God. God has been gracious to you. And literally, it could read, favor beside God. In essence, the angel's reminding Mary, listen, God is with you through this. He is right beside you every moment, every step of the way, because he's that kind of loving God. He's a God who is so gracious that he's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to abandon you. He is literally right beside you. And I love how it's phrased here, favor with God. Literally, you are right beside God. You are right beside him. You are not alone, Mary. It made me think of a passage in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. If you want to go there, Isaiah 41, verse 10, it's another moment in the history of God's people where God tells his people to stop being afraid. And as Isaiah 41, verse 10, and this is a great passage to maybe memorize, a great verse to maybe memorize this year. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, God is speaking to his people, and he says this, fear not, why? I'm with you. You don't need to be dismayed. I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. You have nothing to fear. You don't need to be worried about it because I am your God. I will walk with you. I'm right beside you, and you're right beside me. You're not alone through this, Mary. And so all this confusion of what's going on in your life and right now, and you just wonder what kind of questions was Mary asking in her life. God, are you still going to use me? God, where are you? God, what's going on? All these different questions. And God says, I'm right here. I'm walking with you through this. You don't need to be afraid. You don't even start being afraid because you're literally right beside me and I'm right beside you. When our kids were little, at times they would struggle to fall asleep at night. Anybody have that problem? Your kids are little, maybe even bigger, and they struggle to fall asleep at night. And it seemed like the only thing that would get my kids to sleep is if I would lie down on the floor in their bedroom right next to their bed. And so that just seemed to happen. I don't know why, but our kids would maybe struggle to fall asleep and they'd be, whatever, squirrely and whatever, and try to get out of the bed and jump, do 50 jumping jacks. Like literally, we would have them do 50 to try to get the energy out, right? And they'd lie back down or still couldn't fall asleep. But inevitably, it was almost if I would lie down on the floor next to the kid's bed, there was something about having the presence of their father with them, literally right beside them, that gave them the peace they needed to sleep. And it's as if God is saying, you have nothing to be afraid of. I am literally right beside you. And so maybe you're here and you're like Mary and afraid and wondering, having all these confusing things happening in your life, and you're wondering what is going on. And God's saying, you don't need to be afraid. I'm literally right with you. Literally right beside you every moment, every step. And he promised, I will never leave you. I'll never abandon you. He says in the book of Hebrews. But we see this message again. Go to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, Joseph, being a just man, and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Why? For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, which is, behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So here we have the adopted father, if you will, earthly father, of the Son of God, of Jesus. And he's betrothed to Mary, the one the angel just appeared to. And you can imagine what Joseph finds out is his betrothed is pregnant, but not with his child. And so you can imagine all the questions that are going through his mind at the time. What in the world is going on? Why is this happening? And it tells us that Joseph is a just man. He wants to do what's right. He wants to be obedient to God's law, but he also loves Mary. And so he's in this tense place of like, what do I do? Because at that time, the penalty for adultery was death by stoning. And so he's going, I don't want that for Mary, but I also want to do what's right by God. What do I do? And so you can imagine, feel the emotion that he's experiencing, and so this turmoil, this tension, and the questions he's asking God, and the fear, what do I do if I make this decision? This is what happens. But if I make this decision, this, and you can imagine all the society and the culture, what they might think of him. Joseph, what's really going on? And as a carpenter, he might lose some business. I mean, this has all kinds of ramifications for him. Financially, emotionally, culturally, socially, all personally, his walk with God, all these different things. And it tells us that he's considering all these things. But then the Lord shows up through an angel and says, Joseph, don't be afraid. Why? Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's as if God is saying, Joseph, I get it, but I'm doing something here. I've got a plan. This is from me. You don't need to be afraid. I have it. I understand that you have all these questions going on in your mind, but listen, I'm up to something here. This is from me. I'm doing this. And there's a plan that I'm working out. And I love Joseph's response in verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. It's like, okay, all he needed to know was, God, you're in this. All I need to know is you're in this and you're doing something. I don't need to know all the details. I don't need to know how this is going to work itself out. But I do know you're in this and you have a plan. Therefore, I will just keep being faithful and obedient to you. And for some of us, we live in this world of what might happen or what might not happen. And we're trying to figure out all the details without even really knowing what they might be. And it's as God is saying, you don't need to be afraid. Stop being afraid, because I've got something that I'm doing here. Trust me. I'm working a plan. You don't need to be afraid. And then we go back once again to the message to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. And again, as we saw the angel say to the shepherds, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And again, what's the reason for not being afraid? Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. You shepherds. It's specifically to the shepherds. Yes, it's a message that's great for all people, but I'm talking to you too, shepherds. This is a message for you. I'm bringing you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And so it makes you wonder, what was the fear of the shepherds? Maybe it was, I'm too dirty. I'm too unclean. I'm working with animals all day long. I have to protect the sheep. And if I go and touch a dead animal, I'm declared unclean by the law. I'm too dirty. Maybe God could never save me. He doesn't know where I've been. He does. Yes, he does. And I love this message from God through the angel to the shepherds. For to you, shepherds, to you, this is good news of great joy, because the Savior that you've heard talked about growing up as a little Jewish boy or girl, like you've heard this, like he came for you too. He's also for you. And then it says that in verse 15, when the angels went away from them, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem, see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. To us. God came to us. God came to me. Never stop being mesmerized that the gospel has come to you. Little you. It's come to you. God came to you. Like the good news, it's for you. And I love that about our God. That this Savior, that God would send his only begotten Son into the world to save you. He did it for you. to rescue you out of the shackles and the chains of your sin and your guilt and your shame. And the very God who promised way back in the Garden of Eden that he would send someone to crush the head of the enemy, Satan, and to crush him and destroy evil. Like that God who sent his son, he did that for you and for me. It's personal. I love that about our God. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says, if God did not spare his own son to save you, then how do you think he's not also going to give you what you need to get through life? He's going to. If God gave the ultimate sacrifice to rescue you out of the darkness of your sin and bring you into the kingdom of his son, he's going to give you what you need to get through the circumstance of your life right now. So you have nothing to be afraid of. Stop being afraid, because we have a God who will keep his promises to you. We live in a culture that lacks stability. We live in a culture that where people are breaking their promises left and right to one another, but not our God. He will always keep his promises to you. And if he kept his promise to come for you, he will keep his promise to walk with you. Whatever it is, you have nothing to be afraid of. During the Christmas break, while Aizen, our daughter, was home, Aizen, Kate, myself, and my wife, Andrew, we sat down, we watched a movie together called Unsung Hero. Has anybody seen that movie? Kate, because you were there with us. It's a story. Has anybody heard of the Christian artist, like, For King and Country? Okay, some of you have. All right. So it's basically their story. They're from Australia. And the story, it's a true story of how their family came from Australia to the U.S. And everything kind of, they made this big step of faith, this big leap, and some things didn't work out that they thought were going to work out and everything, and that they were promised, and so now they have nothing. They thought they came to something, then they get to America, and they have nothing. And I'm watching this movie, and I can tell you that our families lived as missionaries for 2.5 years in the Republic of Ireland, Dublin, Ireland, and I can tell you that as I watched that movie, I was a weeping mess, because there were so many parallels of their story and our story. There's a moment when they walk into this house that they're renting, and there's no furniture, and they have no idea. They're not making anything, and they don't know where they're going to get the furniture to fill this place. And we've lived that. I can remember walking into an apartment with our whole little crew at the time, and going, I have no idea how we're going to do this. Sleeping on the floor. I mean, we've lived it. And there were moments during that season that were incredibly difficult for me. Lots of fear. God, what are you doing? How in the world? I'm picking up job. I'm literally sleeping in different people's homes of friends, trying to get my resume out, trying to find jobs and all this stuff, trying to make money to provide for my family, and I'm in tears driving this thing. I'm selling office cleaning. I'm doing, like, all kinds of stuff, working for a cable company, trying to fix people's cable over the phone, which I was horrible at, broke it over the phone, quit that job immediately. It was horrible. And I lived in so much fear during that season of my life. And I watched that movie, and I was just a mess. But on this side of it, looking back, I wish I would not have lived in so much fear, because my God was faithful every step of the way. He provided in so many different ways that are beyond imagination, to the point to where, like, we had no furniture, and some friend of mine sends me a message, says, hey, some dude at the hospital that I work at is, like, looking to sell a bunch of furniture. Here's his info. So I go rent a U-Haul with what money? I don't put it on the credit card, get on the U-Haul, go to this person's, this house. I don't know this guy at all. And I walk in, and he's showing me a queen mattress, a microwave, whatever, all these different things. And he's like, what do you want? I'm like, I want it all. We'll take it all. We have nothing. And I said, well, what do you want for it? He said, well, I got to tell you something. I couldn't sleep last night. God woke me up in the middle of the night, and he said to just give all this stuff to you. Really? Yeah. And he said, here's more to the story. He said, I didn't know this till I woke up, but I woke up and my wife told me that she couldn't sleep last night either. And she told me that she got up. I was asleep, so I'd gone back to sleep at that time. But God woke her up at a different time of the night and told her that they need to give us all the furniture that they were selling. And so that's from the Lord, they said. We're not getting in the way of that. So I'm like, well, how much of it can we? He's like, all of it, Mark. It's yours. All yours. So I'm loading up this U-Haul with all kinds of stuff from a random stranger. But God knew. I had nothing to fear. I didn't need to be afraid. And I wish, looking back, I would have been more faith-filled than fearful. I wish I would have been more focused on who my God is and less on what might happen or what might not happen. Does that make sense? And this whole theme message of do not fear is all throughout, not just the Christmas story, but all throughout the story of Scripture. And the reason why we don't need to be afraid is not because of anything you or I do or don't do. It's because of our God. We have a God who's hearing you, and he has an answer. We have a God who's walking right with you, right beside you. We have a God who's working a plan. He's in it. And we have a God who sent his only son to rescue you out of your sin and shame. And if he did that for you, he will be with you all the way. We have nothing to fear. And so what are you afraid of? If you wrote it down, look at it. What is it? What is it that you're afraid of? Whatever it is, because I'm telling you, that feeling is fear is going to start to bubble to the surface at some point this year. It's gonna. I guarantee it. It's just gonna. We have an enemy that wants you to live in that fear, and he's just going to bring it to the surface. And the next time you start to feel that fear or think that fear, you just tell that fear and you tell your heart what the angel told the shepherds that day. Heart, I have been given good news with great joy. And his name is Jesus. So fear, you are not welcome here because my God is here. I have nothing to fear. And you just tell your fear, you tell your heart that, then the moment that starts to well up. And if you're like me, you know you're going to struggle with this year. And so maybe you turn it into a prayer, right? And maybe the prayer can read something like this. King Jesus, I confess my fear. Because let me tell you, fear is sin. Because at the root of fear is unbelief. It's unbelief in God. I don't think God is enough. I don't think God can do it. I don't think God doesn't know. And so at the core of fear is unbelief. And so we need to confess that sin of unbelief. So I confess my fear, forgive my unbelief. And God, please move me from fearful to faith-filled. And you just keep rehearsing all the grace of God in your life. That you've saved me. You're with me. You're doing this. You've promised to give me what I need. So God, please replace my fear with faithful in you. And make that your prayer this year as I make it mine as well. I'm going to ask the band to come, and as they come and play, I want to encourage you. We're going to invite you to come, right, to the altar, if you will, if the Spirit of God lays something on your heart. And specifically as it relates to maybe there's a fear you need to surrender to the Lord today. And so as we sing, as we pray, I mean, I want to challenge you, by your physical coming, let that be kind of a marker and an expression of what's going on in your heart. Like, by my physical coming, I'm expressing, God, I want to surrender this fear to you. I want to, so please, God, I'm surrendering this to you. Replace my fear with faith in you. Or you can do that right where you sit. Or maybe you want to get some people together, you want to pray, but as the Spirit of God works on your heart this morning, respond. Respond, and let's be grateful for a God who's hearing, a God who's answering, a God who's with us, right beside us, a God who's doing this and working a plan, and a God who's so good that he came for us and will always keep his promises to us. So let's stand together. And as the Spirit lays on your heart, I want you to encourage you to come. And we'll be off to the side if you want to pray with someone. If there's someone in the room that you need to get with to pray with, do that as well. But what's the Spirit of God saying to you this morning? Maybe the response is, God, forgive me for my fear and fill me with faith in you. And God, we come to you this morning. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that we don't need to live in this fear, God. That we can stop being afraid because of you. God, we just ask that you would help us to respond this morning in a way that pleases you. Lord, I just imagine what life would be like if many of us just surrendered our fears right now in this moment and lived life more faith-filled rather than fearful. God, you love us. And my prayer is that maybe there's someone here that they're afraid that you couldn't save them. I pray that you would help them right now to understand that you love them so deeply, that you can save them right now in this moment. I pray that you would. They would believe in you, Lord Jesus, as their Savior. And for others of us, Lord, who following you, Jesus, I pray, move in our hearts, God. Free us from this fear, especially help us to be a church, a family of churches that's not living in fear, but living in faith. Courageous and bold, filled with joy, good news of great joy. We love you. Holy Spirit, I'm just asking now, would you move in us?